Praise the Lord. We thank God for all of you joining us for another episode of This Present Truth. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to come together to study the Word of God. We give you praise, Lord, and we include you in this study. We ask that you would join us and guide us and lead us in this study, Lord, as we open the scripture, that you will invade this space. And we invite your presence to be with us. Thank you for each listener that you will anoint our ears and give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thank you, precious Lord. We give you praise. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise God. We thank God for another opportunity to share the Word of God. Let's get our devices and let's look into the scripture. I want to begin in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. Starting at verse 18, Matthew chapter 4. Then we're going to look in the other gospels concerning the calling of Jesus on those that he wanted to follow him. We want to look at some principles related to divine interruption. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, the King James Version says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Very important, brothers and sisters. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Verse 20. "And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." I just want to stop here long enough for us to see the nature of this invitation that Jesus gives to these two sets of brothers. First, Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother. They were fishermen. They were casting their nets. He went up to them and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then, with James and John, these were the sons of Zebedee. They too were fishermen, and in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, he called them. So we see that the calling to follow me, and we know, as we've studied this passage, this call was a calling into discipleship that Jesus was inviting these brothers into. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, what's critical to what Jesus is inviting them into is their response. The nature of divine interruption is based on the response of those that Jesus is reaching out to. Here is two sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew, and James and John. These brothers were confronted with the same request: follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, with Peter and Andrew, verse 20 says, "And straightway they left their nets and followed him." What we see in divine interruption is that God never allows those whose lives he's interrupting, he never allows them to go back and finish. This divine interruption changed the direction of these brothers' lives. And we live in a day and time, brothers and sisters, where many don't understand the nature of God's direction, how to be led by God's Spirit, how to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Well, I believe this can give us some insight, because these lives from these brothers were interrupted, and their response was based on what Jesus said, which was, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway, Peter and Andrew left their nets. Notice with James and John, verse 22, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. So what we're seeing in divine interruption is that first, their invitation is given. Then the response needs to be immediate. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In verse 20, Peter and Andrew, and straightway they left their nets. As soon as they heard, follow me, they left their nets and followed him. Their response was immediate. That's the nature of divine interruption. That when this calling of God comes, and many are confused about the call of God today. We think that the call of God means to go do something. The call of God, God called me, so I got to go preach. I don't care what nobody say. I got to go preach. No, any calling is an invitation to learn more about God. It's not to do anything. It's to learn. That's the issue here. He didn't say, follow me and you'll start preaching. He didn't say, follow me because I want you to do something. He said, follow me and I will make you. Which means that the nature of this interruption is to become something in God. And Jesus gave them that opportunity. Notice, follow me. He didn't say, you know, just watch me. He didn't say, view me from a distance. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, when you look at Peter and Andrew, and you look at James and John, we know that when we read through the Gospels, and we can read 1st and 2nd Peter, Andrew didn't write a book, but this was John the Revelator. John wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And James, we know that this was the James that was martyred when Herod got angry after the resurrection of Jesus with the apostles and everything. He had James killed. This was James the apostle that we're talking about here. What I want you to see is that there was an immediate response to the interruption, or the invitation, if you will, that Jesus was giving. And brothers and sisters, this is the beginning of any call of God on a person's life. What is your initial response? How did you respond to the calling? How did these respond to the invitation? There was an immediate response. We see this in verse 20, and they straightway left their nets. My brother, my sister, those of you who are viewing and feel or sense that God has called you to do something, I have to ask, what is your response to God's invitation? Is it immediate? We don't see a waiting period here. We don't see them telling Jesus, I'll get back to you. Let me pray about it. What we see is an immediate response. Straightway, they immediately left the ship and their father and followed. Now, a couple things about divine interruption that I just kind of want to share with you. First of all, divine interruption is designed by God to change the direction of a person's life. In response to follow me means that I'm no longer leading myself wherever I'm going. I'm changing my direction. The nature of this interruption is making me change the direction of my life because I can't continue. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. So that's what I've determined I'm going to do and I need to do. Now, a couple key things, brothers and sisters, I want you to see. Jesus is asking them to do something for a particular purpose. Don't just follow me for the sake of following. I don't need fans. He says, follow me, and here's why. I will make you fishers of men. So the nature of this interruption has to do with a making of the individual's life. And this making changes the nature of the direction of your life forever. These never recovered from this divine interruption. James and John left their father in the boat. I'm sure he had planned to turn Zebedee's fishing ministry over to his boys. But once they heard what Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men," the Bible says they immediately left the ship and their father. So we see an immediate directional change in the life of James and John, not just from leaving the ship, which was a type of the business, but they also had to leave their father in the ship. Why? Because the making required it. Hey, brothers and sisters, you know, what is God up to in your life? What do you see the Lord making in you? I can tell you this, that if he's making something in you, he's requiring a divine interruption. That you can't continue doing what you're doing if God says he's going to make you. It requires an immediate response to what you're doing so that it can cease and you can begin following the Lord Jesus Christ. They immediately left what they were doing. They didn't value the ministry of fishing over Jesus saying, "Follow me." It's a decision that you have to make, brothers and sisters. Listen, you can stay in religion until you die. If there's never an interruption, you won't become anything in God. I thank God that you're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and that with the mighty burning fire. Pray your strength in the Lord. I'm grateful for that. But does your life have direction? There are so many people who are saved and aimless. So many people who are sanctified and aimless, they don't know what to do. They don't know the simple basics of the Christian faith, and everybody's saved. Everybody's a Christian nowadays. It's as though Christianity's the default religion when you ain't nothing. You're just Christian. No, those that Jesus was ministering to and telling to follow, it was because he wanted to make them into something. Now, Mark's gospel says something very interesting along this same line. Then we're going to look at something in Luke. I want you to come with me over to Mark's gospel, chapter 1. And there's something that's mentioned here that I think is important as it relates to this divine interruption. We see the similarities with the disciples, namely these brothers who were called first. Peter and Andrew, and then James and John. From there, Matthew and some of the others that Jesus confronted with this, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, in Mark's gospel, chapter 1, the similar gospel recording Peter and Andrew starts in verse 16. Mark chapter 1, verse 16, and I'll read down verse 17 and 18. "Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea." It's interesting how the scripture and the similarities, even in the gospels, the synoptic gospels, are complementing each other. We have the same here in Matthew's gospel where it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren." Here it says, "As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." Verse 17, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Verse 18, we were talking about the importance of their response to the invitation. "And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." So we see their response immediate. The word "straightway" or "immediately" was the response to this divine interruption. They didn't ask any questions. There wasn't dialogue. Jesus sees the immediacy of his assignment and says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Mark says, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I just want to highlight this make you to become. In the gospel in Matthew, he says, I will make you fishers of men. Mark says, I will make you to become fishers of men. The point I want to make is that you won't become anything in God if God's hand himself doesn't make you. I will make you to become. The reason I'm making you is so that you can become something in God. So that you don't just go through this religious cycle of understanding more scripture, still not being rooted in the truth, but trying to go out and do something in the name of the Lord and expecting a return. No, sorry. Some haven't followed long enough to be made. Some haven't been made and haven't become anything either. My brother, my sister, what about you? Are you following Jesus so that you can become something in God? Or you just think going to school, going to Bible school will help you become something? It doesn't. Education doesn't make you a spiritual person. It's so unfortunate. But what I want you to see, brothers and sisters, Jesus emphasizes, come ye after me, follow me. This is an emphasis in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ that anybody that's going to become something that he is going to make, the requirement is that you follow. Hey, brothers and sisters, how is your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? This invitation to become a disciple is open to all, but how many have immediately responded? How many have straightway left their nets and forsook all to follow him? These are requirements. This is not to join a church, or this is not to become a leader. This is Jesus inviting those that he wants to use to follow him so that they can be made. And brothers and sisters, there are too many people trying to share a Jesus that hasn't made them. So their word is not relevant. What they're sharing, nobody has an ear to hear, because the relevance is not derived from the cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ is very specific, those that he's calling into the nature of this work, this labor for the souls of men. He's not randomly just grabbing volunteers. No. He's inviting these into a making so that they could become something in God. I'm reminded of the potter in Jeremiah chapter 18, where Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house and the potter is busy on the wheel. If you go with me to Jeremiah chapter 18, there's a point of emphasis that I want to make as it relates to making. We want to make an emphasis on making. Jeremiah 18 and verse 1. The word of the Lord, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. So God is using an analogy here with the potter and what he's making as it relates to God making those that he's going to use. First, he had to go down to the potter's house so that he could hear the words of the Lord. That what God is doing in the making is speaking something to our generation. who's being made? Oh, we have young people that are going to college, getting a good education, but college doesn't make them. It doesn't prepare them for anything that God is doing. And now we got young people that want to get involved in the work of God and everything. But this invitation is critical if you're going to be made. He saw the potter when he went down there. He noticed, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in his hand. These that God was calling, Andrew and Peter, his brother, James and his brother John, they were being made. They were being invited by God to begin a process of making so that they could become fishers of men. Notice he says that this vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So what did he do? He made it again. Another vessel. This is what God is doing as it relates to this invitation. Regardless as to what you're doing, what you may not know is that you're marred in the hand of the potter. Sin mars every vessel that God uses. So they must be made again, another vessel. And that's what he's doing here. As it seemed good to the potter to make it. So the one being made doesn't dictate the making. The maker dictates what he's making. It says, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. This process doesn't involve the person at all. It's all God doing the making. And your consistent following determines the outcome of your being made. At any point, brothers and sisters, the disciples could have just stopped following. As a matter of fact, when you get to John chapter 6, the 70 left the Lord. You read in John chapter 6 and verse 66, it says, and many of the disciples of the Lord walked no longer with him. Disciples stopped walking. You know what happened? They didn't want to be made anymore. They were marred already, but they wanted to stop the process of being made. So they left. And Jesus turned to the 12. Will you also go with them? Because I will start over. Are you going with them? And it was Peter, once again, the one who had genuinely left all to follow, said, Lord, where shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. What we see in the heart of Peter in his response and straight way of leaving was a solid commitment that wasn't going to turn just because others left. What about you, brothers and sisters? Did you come into the things of God with a group of people and some of those in the group left God? Are you going to leave God too? Or did God do something in your heart to where if everybody that you got saved with, if everybody that you were preaching with left, you will still be preaching the gospel? That's what I've determined, brothers and sisters. And not everybody that was preaching when I was preaching is still preaching. How sad it is. I heard one of the brothers say, yeah, man, I got to get back into it. I want to know, bro, what got you out of it? What do you mean get back into it? How are you called to do something and then you determine you're not going to follow no more so that you can be made to do it? Oh, and then you come to your senses years later like, oh, well, you got to go back to the beginning of the process. It didn't happen for you. You're not equipped to be released to go do something. You shouldn't be doing anything in the church. You shouldn't have a responsibility in the church. You left God. How do you leave God and still called to do something? It's very important that you see Jesus said, follow me. And that's the key to me making you something. But if you stop following, what you're saying is you don't want to be made anymore. Can I just stop here long enough to ask, brothers and sisters, are you interested in God making you into something, or you just want to raise up yourself to be something? You just want to hurry up and get famous. The hand of God was responsible for making all of those that he intended to use. Follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. I want to stop here long enough, brothers and sisters. My time is gone, but I hope the point of emphasis was made. Follow me is an invitation into discipleship. Discipleship is that training in life that's required to be conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus. We think that that equates to going to church every Sunday and Wednesday nights. It does not. You could attend all the services and never be conformed to that image and likeness for whatever the reason. Maybe you just decided to not follow. Maybe your response wasn't immediate. Maybe you decided to look back. And Jesus said, "He that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God." I'd like to pray today, brothers and sisters. Maybe you're in that place where you feel like God is calling you. Maybe this divine interruption to change the current direction of your life, the Lord is putting his finger on something and he's expecting a response from you. Would you like to take a minute to talk to the Lord about that response? I'm trusting that that response will be immediate and that there will be a straight way to what the Lord is calling you into as it relates to discipleship and following him. If you've been marred, you have to come back to be made again another vessel. You say, "Pastor Mark, man, God started working on me already." But have you become another vessel, or are you the same? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for each person that is listening today. I believe that this divine interruption is critical, Lord, so that we can be made properly. There are too many men and women of God that mount the holy desk that haven't been made. My God, if you listen to them, Lord, they have nothing to say. I'm praying, Lord God, that those who mount the holy desk, those who stand behind the holy desk, will understand the importance of proclaiming the truth of the gospel. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And Lord, those that followed you, you made them. We can see on the day of Pentecost, even Peter who messed up, even Peter who went back on the day of Pentecost, began to explain, and 3,000 hearts were arrested immediately. Lord, it was the result of that man being made for 3.5 years. And now, with the Spirit of God upon him, he's equipped properly to share the word of God. And I thank you, Lord God, that you've been working on some hearts for a long time, some lives you've been making for years. I pray that they will continue to follow in discipleship. I pray that they would yield to the hand of the potter and be made again another vessel. Thank you for helping us in this understanding, Lord. We're being made to become all that you want us to be. Thank you, precious Lord, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. We thank God for all of you that are joining us. That's all the time we have on this episode. I'm Pastor Mark Copeland. We will see you next time. God bless you.